Oh, that's right. It is time for Meet Me at the Diner. And today, my very, very, very special guest is Chris Traynor, well known with the Index Journal. He's won 3 South Carolina Press Associations Award, including honors for humor column writing. Don't know where he could have gotten that from. News feature writing and enterprise reporting. And just before the show this afternoon, Chris Traynor did put out on Facebook, I'm going on Ann Eller's show today at 4. Tune in if you want to hear the greatest hour of radio in history. Either that or Ann carrying me as I stumble over my words for an hour. I don't believe that for a minute, but I do like the greatest hour of radio in history. How are you doing today, Chris Traynor?
Good, good. This is it. This is ground zero for radio history right here today.
Absolutely.
Sharp facets.
So we are here this afternoon in studio. If you've got a question or a comment, you know you can always pick up that phone and give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We also need to say a big hello to Alan Klump out there. He's supposed to be listening this afternoon.
That's right. Jeff Duncan's main man, Alan Klump, out there listening somewhere. Alan, go Gamecocks.
There you go. All right. Well, Chris, you know, it really is nice for you to be able to come and sit down. We see each other at many events and crossed paths with a lot of the people that we talk to. But I've always been curious. You're from Abbeville. When you were a young guy, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Weirdly, I thought I wanted to be in when I was younger, I thought I wanted to be in advertising, of all things. Well, I'm not a particularly talented musician, artist, or anything like that.
How about a basketball player?
Of course, I wanted to be a basketball player. Unfortunately, I've got a pretty dreaded case of white man's disease.
Shortitis?
Yeah, shortitis, yes, bespeckled. Played in high school, had a courtside view from the bench of a lot of great basketball games, but still love basketball to this day. But, yeah, of course, I wanted to be a basketball player and then later on advertising and then later on, you know, journalism.
Well, I mean, that's interesting. Why did you think advertising, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. I just thought, I wanted to be involved in the creative process of something. And I guess, in a way, I carried through with that. Always liked doing little, you know, when I was a kid, doing little commercials for projects at school and things like that. And so when I was younger, I thought that would be a way to go. But at some point, I transitioned into writing and things like that.
So, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. That's terrific. Now, I understand one time we were together at McDonald's, and you actually started your career at McDonald's?
That's right. I started working at, when I was in high school, I worked at McDonald's in Abbeville, and, high school kid on the fryer type thing. And
well, Ken Whittington gave you a lot of kudos that day.
Well, Ken Whittington is a great man. If anybody knows Ken Whittington here in town, what a great guy. You know, I worked my way up from being on the floor to shift management to eventually store management under Mr. Whittington, and did that for a good many years when I was in high school and college. And man, Ken Whittington taught me a lot about life, and I look up to him still to this day.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
Literally.
Literally, yeah.
All right. Well,
jovial guy. Loves movies just like me. So we still have a bond.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I thoroughly enjoy dealing with McDonald's, Ken Whittington, and everything. And got to have my latte every morning to start my day.
I'm a Red Bull guy. Sugar-free Red Bull. That's me all the way. We're probably going to find out. I'm going to have a growth in 10 years, and we're going to find out, you know, like people did with cigarettes.
It's
Red
Bull.
We're going to find out that this was, you know, really bad for us. So.
But what do you, we're looking at newspaper, we're looking at media, we're looking at radio, we're looking at television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the last, you've been there since, what, 2004?
That's
right. With the newspaper. Newspapers are going under a very big change in everything. What have you seen the change just on our local paper with the Index Journal?
Sure. I mean, when I started in 2004, please don't quote me if I'm wrong about this, but our website at the time was very static. I mean, it was just a...
It was there.
A rudimentary website, yeah. Since then, obviously, gone through 2 or 3 generations. You know, and now that's a much more prominent fixture. A lot of people in the Lakelands, it's visit indexjournal.com. And so that whole site has increased dramatically. On the
How about on the news side, just from a newspaper, from the reporting type side? To me, it seems like news has gotten harder.
Yeah, it has.
Harder hitting, I should say.
It has. I mean, there's no question that, gosh, in the 9 years since I've been there, and we're still a community paper very much, I mean, there's a harder edge there. A lot of that's driven by my associate editor, Scott Bryan, an aggressive, pugnacious bulldog of a man. And Richard Whiting is a Freedom of Information Act advocate. So, I mean, you see a lot more now about searching for records, about searching for the scene behind the scenes, so to speak. And we've done well with that. I've been lauded by the State Press Association many times for that. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You've won, how many awards last year? It was huge.
34 last year, a paper record.
For a small, relatively within the state, I mean, how many newspapers are there that are locally owned? Are there that many left?
You know, I don't have...
there's not that many left.
I think the Post and Courier, don't quote me, but I think they are. And there's many weeklies. For instance, Press and Banner, a great paper in Abbeville, is family-owned by the Wests. A lot more weeklies out there than people really know about. But as far as dailies, family-owned, that's rare, and it's very rare today.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the paper has changed. You're right. We have Freedom of Information Act. It just seems like it keeps going on and on. There's always a case that Richard is pushing to get more information about. Sure. Lately, it was the school.
That's right. That wasn't on that directly, but yes, Mr. Whiting and Mr. Bryan and some others have had some back and forth with the school district about releasing of records, and that's continuing to go on. So there's some inconsistencies there. So we'll continue to seek the documents that the public has a right to see.
Now, how do you when you get an article? Have you worked on some where there's a Freedom of Information Act?
Certainly, yeah. And those aren't always
contentious,
right? They're all a great example. We'll, for instance, when candidates file to run for office,
sure.
We'll send a Freedom of Information Act to Connie Moody, who's our voter registration director. One of, if not the best in the state, I should add, seeking the information about the people who have filed to run for office.
Sure.
And so we use it as a tool as well. I mean, it's not always contentious.
No, but it does seem to get the big headlines when it is.
Sure, certainly. Yeah.
But how do you go about working a story that isn't just a straight line story that you've got to do background on and keep digging on?
Right.
That has to sometimes be frustrating, but exciting too.
Certainly, and especially in this environment when everything is now. That's the news culture today. You have to think about other publications. You have to think about other news agencies who might be seeking the same story. So you've got to balance speed with patience in getting the story you need. It can be pretty difficult, but if you've been here a while, as I've been, my sources are strong, and we trust each other. They trust that even in a quote-unquote negative story that I'm not going to burn them. So I don't have a lot of trouble sitting down with people and hashing it out. Even if they think the story is not going to be favorable to them, they know I'm going to treat them fair.
That's important.
Right. And I work hard at that. So, yeah, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of trust and also hoping that as far as release of records, that people will do the right thing and release those.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we are here with Chris Traynor, reporter extraordinaire for the Index Journal. We are going to be here for the whole hour. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, I've got a lot of questions. I hope if you've got a question, you'll pick up that phone and give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too, paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery, just having a good time talking to the Chris Traynor right here on WCRS 1450 AM. And, of course, with the Index Journal doing a great job. Can always count on Chris to put some good comments out there. I particularly like what you put out there on Facebook, Chris.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
I really enjoy that. The one that you had about the sexy photographs,
yeah,
and
the boudoir photos.
Yes.
What they're and I should say, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody, if you're coming down, if you're let Jeff Eller give you a tour of his office, some wonderful paintings in there, but anyway, these boudoir photos, what do you do with them? I mean, they're gorgeous,
right?
You know, my wife, if she were to give me a boudoir photo, I'd say, oh, this is gorgeous.
Would and you then, take it to the office?
Yeah, take it to the office. Stick it right on there. Let all those decrepit perverts around my office look at, ogle my wife on her boudoir photos. You know,
yeah.
What are these photos? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I know.
But I drew the ire of some people with that comment, as you saw, some
yes.
photographers. I'm not against the practice of them. Okay.
No, and yeah. Then there was the one that you did about the new sexy lingerie place there at Christmas time. That one,
Nicole's.
That, yes.
Yeah, they advertise in the Index Journal's Money Pages supplement. Thank you. They got some wonderful items down there. Valentine's Day is coming up. You know, right out there on 25. So for everybody to see.
Yes. So, right.
Yeah.
So
Richard Whiting, regular customer.
Regular customer, Richard Whiting.
That's right. I think he's got an account down there.
He's got an account. Well,
yeah.
That is good to know.
I can see
this show is going to be great this afternoon.
He didn't even have to stop at the register. You know, he just holds up his hand. They say, go ahead, Mr. Whiting, and he goes on. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yep.
So you're already seeing the opportunity of being on the radio here, don't you, Chris?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I've been briefly on with you a couple times, and I've always enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, but yes, Facebook, I think there's you put out a lot of good stuff. I like your column. You do an excellent job pointing out issues and things.
That's my favorite thing. It's papers, my column on Sunday. You know, sometimes we have some fun with it. Sometimes it's a little more serious, but... I've really enjoyed doing that these last couple of years. So.
Well, I think that you do an excellent job of helping the community see some of the issues out there, the healthy neighborhoods, the,
right.
You know, helping motivate an action.
Sure. Yeah, healthy neighborhoods. My most recent one on Sunday was about the healthy Greenwood neighborhoods, Miss Tony Abel and her group, as well as all the neighborhoods are doing that. And, you know, we need that. So, yeah, I like to call attention to some stuff people might not notice, you know. And the other times, you know, it's a little more, you know, harebrained, but yeah, I have a lot of fun with that.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a really good thing. Now, we have, of course, and you are in a unique position here in Greenwood because you report on so many different things. What do you think? January ends tomorrow.
That's right.
And we've already started off gangbusters here in Greenwood. What do you think are going to be some of the big issues that we're going to deal with in 2013 in Greenwood?
Wow. You know, there's a lot of things. First off, and these range wildly in topic, but, I mean, you know, you look at the changing face of our county government. Your county government's always a hot topic locally. You know, we've got a new county manager for the moment, a part-time acting new county attorney, a couple new council members, a new person has been appointed chairman of our county council, you know, along with supporting roles like a new coroner, a new clerk of court, etc. I mean, it's really a new face over at Park Plaza. So, you know, where will county council go this year? I mean, I'm going to be watching very closely to see what happens there. For sure. So, other issues, economic development wise, we're just on the cusp of a couple major announcements. I know you guys read about perhaps Project Seminole or Project Discovery. You know, they got these clever names. You know, Project Dan Eller.
Mark Warner.
Mark. I'm sure he's sitting in this very chair with his creative names. He sits at night and thinks of these names, but they're actually companies and organizations behind those names, and we're right on the precipice. With a couple that we're going to look back on and say, "Wow, that was important." for Greenwood, you know, when those come to pass.
What do you think? I mean, I want to ask you, we'll go back to that, but what do you think about the changing face of Greenwood? You know, I used to love Greenwood.
Yes.
When it was, I'm going to say, more local.
Yeah.
We have so many outside chains and so much, we're beginning to look a lot like any other U.S. town.
You know, if you take a road trip through, well, for instance, I just was in Florida at New Year, went down for the Outback Bowl where South Carolina and Michigan played. And as you take that road trip, you know, every town's got its certain box stores. You know what I mean?
It's right, like you're, you exactly. Know,
I think the folks are, we have folks here who are working hard to maintain a local. I mean, heck, you look at our uptown now compared to even 5 or 10 years ago with the folks at, say, the Mill House or T.W. Boone's and Buffalo Grill and some of these local restaurants that have started their Howard's, not to leave anybody out. All the investment that's been put into uptown on Maxwell Avenue and Oregon Avenue, and even more talk now about corridors to the hospital and cleaning up the Kitson Mill, thank God. And anyway, I think there are people who recognize what you're saying, that it's so important for local businesses and for this to be a special place. You know, I mean, I'm from Abbeville, and the square. For instance, the Court Square, it's very distinctive, you know.
Absolutely. And it maintains.
Right.
And it does maintain,
right,
yes.
Right, exactly. And you know, does Greenwood, of course Greenwood's a much bigger city than Abbeville, but does Greenwood have something like that? I'm not sure, but I think there are those who are working to keep that, you know.
Yeah. And, of course, we have been very lucky to have them all redone. That has been a big, big plus for our community.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rhonda Irvin and her crew, you know, the mall. A lot of people had a lot of, you know, negative things to say about the mall in years past. But you can't say anything negative about what they've done the last 2 years with some big stores there and hung on through some tough times and now looking a lot better, you know. So, you know, somehow through the recession, hard work of a lot of people, I'm sure, is what it is. But, you know, retail-wise, we've done okay. You know,
sure.
With new projects opening left and right, so a lot of them national, as you say.
Sure.
But
I'm just saying, you know, I love having the convenience, and don't get me wrong, but you know, in some aspects, it's sad to see some of the smaller mom and pop stores that end up going out because the big box stores do come in.
That's
you
true.
You know, and that is an eventual. That is.
But
what
we do
happens.
Have Nicole's lingerie store.
Well, there you go.
And, and Lucy's.
Lucy's Love
Shop.
Not
one, but two adult stores. So we still do local here.
We do local. We have Sharp Facets.
Hey,
you know,
of course.
Lots of good ones.
Yay.
Yeah.
You know, there we go.
Absolutely. But these are the things. Now, are there any other big issues that you think? You think we're on the precipice of a few big businesses coming
sure.
to town, and
yeah.
County Council is going to change up some.
Yeah.
What do you think about the past? I mean, are we gonna get that resolved in the past, or what do you think?
County Council stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll believe it when I see it. We're forever hearing about, you know, hijinks from the past, you know. And I think a lot of work has been done to address those, and I think that we're getting there.
It's going to take a lot to bring the trust back.
Just a moment, you know, we're here in the studio, just in the back of Sharp Facets here. County Councilman Stephen Brown came in, newly elected. You know, guys like Stephen, he has the absolute best of intentions. You know, so I look forward to seeing what we can do. But yeah, it always seems like some document comes to light. You know, I mean, it really does.
And I'm and there we are again.
Yeah, you know, like I'm calling my wife. I'm like, all right, you know, don't wait up, you know, type thing. Yeah, Richard's, you know, firing up his FOI machine over there. But I'm hopeful that we're heading in a positive direction, and I think we are. I legitimately think we are. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we are here with the one and only Chris Traynor right here from the Index Journal, having a good time talking about a lot of different issues. I've got more questions. Hey, if you've got a comment, don't hesitate to pick up that phone or drop us an email. You can do it any way you want. We are right here this afternoon. So give us a call, 229-7984. Right now it is time for South Carolina News and a word from our sponsors. So don't you go away. We'll be right back.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. I am sitting here with Chris Traynor from the Index Journal, having a good time. And we're just talking about some of the things that are looking at to expand Greenwood, to make Greenwood grow. And you really have to say, over the last 6 or 7 years, even with the bad economy, we certainly have been able to hold things pretty well together.
Honestly, yes. I mean, unemployment swelled, obviously, especially during the heart of the recession. That settled down some, and it's kind of plateaued at a rate that could be lower, but that we can definitely live with in comparison to the recession. In fact, Greenwood has grown, literally, by census and by some of the offerings that we have here. You know, there's still problems, of course. Crime has been a particular, violent crime and such. We've seen that.
And we see it in the Index Journal.
Yeah,
you know,
do.
That now, that is something years ago you didn't see that many of those things in the Index Journal.
You know, people want to read about that. There's a lot of people who tell you, I don't want to see negative stuff in the newspaper, but that's news, and quite frankly, our numbers show us that people do want to read it,
there's not a day that goes by that there's not somebody that's been picked up for something.
That's right, and we have a very capable police reporter, Matt Bruce. He's got a good relationship with our sheriff's office and our police department, and he works with those guys every day to get reports. And we see it. I mean, Chief Brooks, Sheriff Davis, et cetera, they're working really hard. But a lot of this goes back to societal issues that are much deeper than just our local law enforcement. And so, we have a lot of stuff here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So drugs, I think. I had Tony, our sheriff, on yesterday, Tony Davis. We were talking about the drug part, and that seems to be keep growing even though you try to work against it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's so many other crimes. You can get Solicitor Stumbo to come in here, former Solicitor Peace. They'll tell you the same. So many other crimes that are, quote-unquote, not drug-related, they do have roots back to drugs. You know, theft and such that... people stealing or robbing or whatever to get money for drugs. I mean, it all leads back there for law enforcement.
Sure. Yeah. So what do you think? Well, we also were having a lot more gun crimes, though, which is kind of frightening.
Guns.
Guns. We're talking opening that door up
President
there, Chris.
President Obama himself is going to knock on your door and take your gun. I'm just kidding. Send that hate mail to Ann.
Well, now you're not going to. The Index Journal is not, I hope, going to be reporting who all has guns in their house, because would all be solid red. Because I'm sure everybody in Greenwood County has a gun,
whether they're registered or not. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. There's no question. We've seen gun violence here recently. And in the recent past too. And it's not so much a gun control talk. I mean, are some of these folks getting their gun at the gun shop and registering it? I mean, I doubt it. So, but that's out there. You can ask Sheriff Davis. You can ask others. You know, this east side, south side gangs and stuff that were going back and forth a year or so ago, that was real, And so it's just something we need to be cognizant about.
Absolutely.
That's the other side of the gun talk, you know.
It is the other side. And the interesting on the news today was the fact of the number of gun stores that are now selling the parts to be able to put your own gun together.
I hadn't seen that report, but I believe every bit of it.
That is something, because you don't have to pass any checks if you're buying parts. They don't have to worry about checking you for...
Folks, you know, here in Greenwood and in the area, building their own guns, it's going to go well. Yes, that's going to go really well. Those guns are going to work great.
Well, they say you can do it.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, you know.
You can. Well, I'm sure there are those who can.
Well, buy a kit, build a gun. There you go.
That's all you need to do.
That's right. Build a gun.
Yep.
You know, of course, we were talking earlier that Friday afternoon, Congressman Jeff Duncan is going to be here at out there at Hunter's headquarters.
Right. I think he's going to a series of hunting stores and or, you know, gun shops in the 3rd District and having listening sessions and talking to folks about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it is very interesting. What do you think about Congressman Jeff Duncan inviting Remington from New York to come on down here and open a store or open their business here, build guns?
I think that's vintage Jeff, you know. He is a Second Amendment advocate. For sure.
He's a constitutionalist all the way through, right?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, he carries, if I'm not mistaken, he carries one in his pocket.
Right.
You know, I thought that was, it made a splash, no doubt. I do wonder, is Remington, you know, how seriously are they entertaining this invitation? I'm sure there's some economic developers, Mark Warner, type people like that, who would say, hey, you know, we got some spots for you right here in Greenwood County if Remington wanted to set up shop. So I would love to know this other side of that, which is, well, how does Remington see it, you know? You know, of course, here in the 3rd District, something like that plays, you know. So I think Jeff, I thought it was very impactful for him to invite Remington to South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, I think the other side of it is when President Obama was making his inaugural speech, he talked about the pro-gun states getting on board with their program. And I thought about South Carolina, and I thought, that's going to be a tough one for South Carolina.
Sure. I mean, that's it was a great speech. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
you know, it sounded good, but, yeah, I mean, the folks here are, many people are very, you know, pro-Second Amendment, and the right to bear arms is something that they hold dear, you know, and I don't see that changing here anytime soon in terms of this state, quote, getting on board, at least not from what I've heard from our governor and our legislature and our congressman.
And Remington, if you want to come on down here to South Carolina, hey, it's A-okay with us.
Yeah, you know what? I think I was going out 25, and I think the Guardian, former Guardian building, it looked like it was up for...
It's available.
It's available. It's a beautiful facility. You know, we have plenty of space here for you, so Greenwood County...
And we have a gunsmithing class out there at Piedmont Tech.
We've got a gunsmithing class... you know, people can buy these kits we were talking about.
That's right.
So Remington, yeah, come on, and you know, and Mark Warner, you can send me a
hot tip award.
Yeah, hot tip award for this.
Absolutely.
Which would be a peach beer. You can give me one peach beer for this plug I'm doing for you.
Okay. All right. Well, we are here. Mark Warner, are you listening? We did hear that Charlie Barrano
is listening. Georgia fan, UGA alum, which is one of the only unfortunate things about Mr. Barrano, that he is a Georgia fan. He's somewhere right now probably reading a recruiting site, how they're cheating to get their next batch of ball players. So, yeah, he's out there listening.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we are having a good time here with Chris this afternoon. Chris Traynor from the Index Journal. Certainly hope you're going to stay right with us. We'll be back in just 1 minute, so don't you go away. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of... This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276. All right, we're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Chris Traynor with us. We had a couple of questions come in, Chris.
All right, sounds good.
And Ralph James wants to know that the paper could print a list of homes without guns. He said it would be a really short one.
That's probably correct. He's probably correct. He's probably correct. I imagine Ralph's right on with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's just a little comment. And Jane Mansard, will the paper be expanding its coverage area? You know, she thinks there ought to be more coverage from out there lakeside.
Okay. You know, I'm a mere foot soldier, but I don't foresee the paper expanding its coverage area, you know, with any big imprint outside of our four counties, which are Greenwood, McCormick, Abbeville, and Saluda. Those are our four Lakeland counties. We do, at times, get into some Lawrence County stuff out at the lake. Mm-hmm. I don't foresee that we'd go over anytime soon and be doing like Waterloo Town Council stories or anything like that. But issues of, you know, I'm just throwing something completely out here. If a plane crashes, you know, in Waterloo over on the other side of the lake, of course we're going to respond and do a story about that type of thing. But as far as establishing, yes, we're covering Lawrence County now. I don't see that that's going to happen anytime real soon.
Well, you might want to start covering the Cross Hill town councils. They're pretty exciting.
Are they really?
Yeah, they really are. Okay.
We do a little Cross Hill. We deliver out in Cross Hill. So, yeah, you know, okay. I think our new solicitor's living out that way. So, yeah, maybe we need to dip into Cross Hill.
Yeah, maybe you do.
Yeah.
All right. And the other question she asked, does the online edition mirror the print, or is it different?
If you're talking about three ways, you know, you've got the regular paper Index Journal. Mm-hmm. Then you have indexjournal.com, which is our website. But you can subscribe to an e-edition of the Index Journal, which is an electronic edition of the actual newspaper. So if you get the edition and you open it up on a Monday, it's going to look exactly like that Monday's Index Journal paper, but just on your computer screen there. And you can leaf through it. It even makes a little paper sound.
Yeah,
as you turn
changing the pages.
Yeah. And it's exactly what you see. So, yes, there is an e-edition that's...
So
exactly
people
like
outside of the area can see. And does outside it have there? The ads and all that, everything in it?
I think there are some exceptions to that, but almost all of the print ads and stuff are in there as well. Yeah, and people from outside of the area tend to like it. And my wife prefers to read the e-edition because she says the paper gets her hands dirty. So she reads it on e-edition at work. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well... You know, I think this has been great to have you on here today. And I also think that, you know, are you ever going to write a book?
I'd love to write a book. About what? I'm not so sure, you know.
Characters you have known?
Characters I've known. We've known some. We continue to meet some characters. I get into a little of that character type stuff in my column. So, yes, I would like to put a book together one day about crazy happenings around Abbeville, Greenwood, and characters we've known. Perhaps we could embellish that in some fiction, you know. As you and I have talked about, sometimes the need to get tomorrow's story out supersedes my abilities to work on any type of book or long feature type stuff. But yeah, that's kind of in my radar.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that would be great. You know, and when you think back over Greenwood, there are so many characters.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you think about the end of a year and people that are no longer with us,
right?
It really drives it home on the characters that I have known.
Sure.
And it really, that would be a great book.
Yeah, I think so.
It would be excellent. And I think you'd put a good twist on it there, Chris.
Well, I would try. I would certainly try. No pressure.
No pressure
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
Now, you're always writing about your daughter, Charlie.
That's right.
She has been a great addition to your life. You can tell through your writings and
right.
everything.
Yeah, I joke that I have to try hard that my Sunday column doesn't become, you know, Charlie and me, you know, rather than Marley and me. Yes, she's my heart, and she is everything to me. And she's 4 years old, and I'm biased, but she's, you know, cute as a button. And she even, you know, reads the newspaper, so... which I'm particularly fond of. So, yeah, there's nothing in this world I love more than my daughter, Charlie. So,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it comes across. I just wanted to mention that because I particularly like the article where you went down to Columbia
yes.
for the game.
Yeah, right, right.
And she was so excited. You didn't think, you said you hauled her in the car.
Right.
And she got into it.
Certainly, yeah. I took her down and we recently went down. Some may have seen the, we're Gamecock fans. And
he's sitting in an orange chair, folks.
Yeah, I am sitting in an orange chair. Feels good, though. So, you know, what's happening here? But the women's basketball team at South Carolina recently played a game at the old Coliseum, which they had not done in many years. It had been closed, and, you know, they're in a new arena. And they played a game at the old Coliseum because there was a concert at the new arena that night. And so I was insistent to my wife, we need to take Charlie because this is where I went when I was a kid, and this building meant so much to me. We saw so many games there and so many, my dad took me there, you know. And so, yeah, we took Charlie and my wife kind of rolled her eyes and we drove through a rainstorm and got there. And to my wife's horror, you know, my daughter really got into the ball game and we really got into cheering for the Gamecocks. And she's thinking, I know my wife is thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to be at all these. But, yeah, it was a fun moment. And I was glad I got to take her to do something that I used to love to do so much, you know. So, and we go to games all the time. So she's my buddy and she's my heart. So,
what do you worry about for her futuristically? In this world that we live in.
Gosh, you know, so many things that I guess any father through the ages worried about. You know, she's so much, you know, mine. And you know, one day she's going to grow up and, you know, want to get away from mom and dad and, you know, boyfriends and friends and all that. And, you know, you worry about that stuff. People make a joke out of it, but you do worry about that, you know. And who knows what the world will be in, you know, 12 years, you know. I mean, you worry about so much, but, you know, I still relish these moments.
Any idea what she's going to be when she grows up?
I don't know. She says she wants to be a firefighter, or doctor. So, you know, I don't know.
A firefighting doctor. There you go.
Yeah, she'll probably not be guided towards journalism. I'll encourage her to not do that, so as she can have some nights at home and things like that. So,
what would you like to do futuristically?
I don't know. I really love what I do. I love being a newspaper reporter. I love being in Greenwood, South Carolina. If you ever get into this business, heck, and you're in the media, and I mean, I'm sure being on the radio is in your blood. If you ever get into print journalism, it just gets in your blood. And there's nothing like being in that newsroom, even in a small paper like the Index Journal. There's nothing like being with my colleagues, and stories are breaking, and it's a bunker mentality that just gets in your blood. I think, you know, police see this, and I think folks in your side of the media see it, and you certainly see it in print journalism. So one way or another, I always want to be involved with this business.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. It's good to know that you feel that you've made a good choice for your future.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I couldn't be more pleased. I mean, Ms. Burns at the Index Journal has been very good to me. The people I've met, I've met some amazing people through my job, both locally and nationally, that I never would have met or done. So it's been great.
Who's the most amazing person you feel you've met?
Oh, Barack Obama. I mean, obviously, it's the most dynamic. The President of the United States is the most dynamic person I've met. But heck, I mean, I've interviewed John McCain, his opponent, in 2008. That was a great interview. I spent an hour with John McCain on his bus, just me and him. It was crazy.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, Coach Steve Spurrier from the University of South Carolina, Tommy Bowden, former coach at Clemson. You know, lots of amazing people.
Who would you most like to interview?
This is going to be an answer that it's not sexy in any way, shape, or form, but I'd most like to interview my favorite writer. My favorite writer is a guy named Wright Thompson, who now works for ESPN, but he used to work for the Kansas City Star, and he's just an amazing writer, from Mississippi. So he writes these stories about the South and about football and food, and I'd love to sit down and pick his brain and interview him. It wouldn't be interesting to people outside of my business, but Wright Thompson would be a guy I'd love to sit down and talk to. Yeah.
Any others? One more.
You know, I'd really like to sit down and talk to Wendy Whiting, wife of Richard Whiting, my executive editor. Who is this man?
You know,
who is this dark-hearted character? You know, what drives him? You know, he's at lingerie shops. He's a gun advocate. You know,
freedom of information.
FOIA. I mean, he FOIAs his wife every night about what's for dinner. You know, you got 15 days to tell me what we're gonna have for dinner 15 days from now. You know, I mean, literally, I think his toilet paper in his house is probably rolls of FOI requests. You know, this guy. Who is this man? I'd like to sit down with
him. Who is this masked man?
Yeah. Why does? How can she live with him? You know, that type of thing. The smell of cigars in the air. You know, I mean, all the time. I mean, a scotch always close by. Yeah, who is this man?
Richard Whiting.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, you know what? We have had an excellent conversation here this afternoon.
It's been something.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. I am so glad that you were able to come on with us this afternoon right here on WCRS. Of course, you know, anytime you got a hot tip here, don't hesitate to let me know about it, because, and if we get one, we'll let you know about it.
Sure,
how about
sure.
that?
You know, we've worked well in the past. I've been in the studio before and sat in on interviews, and we've had a good time. So it's always been good.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's a good opportunity for both here. So yeah. While we're finishing up here, I want to say thank you again for coming out here. And this is, of course, your favorite radio station right here on WCRS. I'll be interested to see, did this live up to the greatest hour of radio in history?
I can cut to the chase. No, it did not. It did not. That sound about an hour ago, that sound you heard when you announced my name, that was the sound of 1,000 radio dials clicking over as people in horror. You're going to get your audience back here at WCRS in a couple minutes. They're going to come back.
Oh, come on now. Yeah, I don't believe that. Hey, it was great.
It has been good.
It has been good. Yeah. We've covered a lot of topics, and that's what we do on this show. So I certainly hope you will come back and see us.
No,
this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye.